guest now is a farmer, musician, a mum and a full-blown cowgirl. Kacey Evans has managed to combine her love of horses and music into a truly unique career. After travelling the world, working as a horse trainer in the United States, Australia and Canada, she's now based back in the Catlins, running a farm with her husband Reese while raising three-year-old twins Cole and Luke. She's well known on the New Zealand rodeo circuit, not just for her abilities as a barrel racer, but for her voice. After success with three of her singles, Kacey Evans in the process of recording her debut album, slightly delayed like many things due to COVID. In the meantime, her all-encompassing country lifestyle has seen her become a brand ambassador for Wrangler Jeans. Kacey is taking some time out from her incredibly busy day to be with us now. Good morning, lovely to talk.
Good morning, Catherine. Thank you for having me.
So you're based in the Catlins, which is a beautiful part of New Zealand. Is that where home is?
Yes, it is. So I moved down here with my husband 3 years ago. It was a big change.
Where did you grow up, though?
I grew up in Middlemarch, so a little town just out of central Otago and surrounded by rocks. You know, it's rural as rural could get. Kind of looks like you're in the middle of America, to be honest. And then went up to central Otago to complete high school, because there's no high school up in Middlemarch. So, yeah, went to Terrace and Cromwell, went to Cromwell College, and then, yeah, went over travelling the world.
Fun fact, when I was in primary school, we used to go to Middlemarch for our school farm day.
Did you? What primary school did you go to?
Oh, it was a little, St. Bridget's, it was a little school with about 120 kids. In Dunedin, so we would all go get on the bus and go up there and get our bit of country. It's most famous, of course, now for the rail trail to meet your wife. Oh no, the rail trail. I was thinking about they take the train up for husbands to meet their wives.
Yes, that has become very, very popular for people all over the South Island.
Yeah,
Mary, down to Dunedin, get on the train.
See if you can find your match in Middlemarch. So, yes. So you grew up in high school in Cromwell, and
yes.
Where the horses have always been, right? How young were you when you learnt to ride?
I was riding from in mum's womb, to be honest, and there is a photograph in the Otago Daily Times, and I'm two, riding at the Strathtyre AMP show, so the Middlemarch AMP show, and I'm holding I think a third ribbon that says "Cute Kacey Catches the Mode." That's the first kind of memory that I have, and I'm 2 years old.
And so during your childhood, what were the skills? You became a show jumper, I think. What were the skills that developed?
So I started in pony club and did, so your mum had me riding from two, and then I went right through pony club. I did all the dressage, show jumping, games. And I stayed in the kind of English world of, there's two kind of different disciplines if you want to be, like there's lots, but that's kind of broadly speaking. I stayed in the English dominated world, so English saddle, did show jumping right through until I was about 16, 17, when I moved over to the western side. I still dabble in English because that's where I've grown up and I love it. But I have crossed over to riding western, you know, cowboy hats, and I just loved the culture that came with riding western.
So when did you move into rodeo? And tell me about the barrel racing, but when did you move into rodeo?
Well, I've had a lot of family that have been like cowboys and competitors, and I used to go and watch, and I thought it was such a thrill because it's a really big, they put on such a good show. So I went there and I was one, I'm just in the crowd and I just loved it. And then I got offered when I was 17 at Wanaka Rodeo, I got offered a horse and I could compete in the local because I went to Cromwell College. And I thought, rodeo, I'll jump on this horse. So I tell you, this horse had not very much control that I was used to, because remember I've come from very English background back then, and this horse was a runner horse. It was going to go fast, and I was like, whoa, and I just held on for dear life, and the horse went round, and I thought, this is so much fun. And then after that I went out and bought a trained, at that point, barrel horse, and that horse taught me so much until I thought, rightio, I want to get my own young horse and school up and get her going the way, you know, that I like to ride. And that was it. That was the change. I mean, when you're 17 years old and and there's and this is, you know, there's lots of young cowboys. When you're 17, it's like, oh, this is a cool place to be. So I stayed there.
So the barrel racing, it is to an extent how it sounds. You literally race around barrels, but tell me a little bit more about the distance between them. Is there a set course and what the strategy is?
There is a set course. So it's about 32 metres between the first and second. So there's a three barrels in a cloverleaf pattern. You can either go left or right barrel first, as long as you're crossing and completing a cloverleaf. And kind of the aim of the game is just to, your barrel horses know as soon as they see a barrel, they want to run. Nine times out of ten, you're a jockey. You're there for the ride, and you're there to guide them around. And that's the best barrel horses and the best combinations, is that you don't want to really interfere. You just want to sit there and let the horse do their job. And the aim of the game, it's down to a hundredth of a second. So the aim of the game is to go as fast as you possibly can without knocking a barrel.
So and what sort
it
of
seems,
and,
yeah. It seems really easy. You're like, oh, that's easy. But then when you do it at fast speeds, if you get left behind just slightly, that can knock a drum.
And so how long does each event last?
Well, the barrel racing goes through very, very quickly. And there are so many barrel races. But this season, I've been doing sound and announcing as well as competing. And it's made me like sit down and really watch all of the barrel races run through. There has been, especially in the like rookie barrel race, so the new people coming into the sport that haven't made like $3,000 in prize money to go into the open, which was the big girls. There's like 40, nearly 50 barrel races. And then there's the juniors, and that's got nearly 40 as well. So you're getting really big numbers. And then if a rodeo includes locals, so get all your local pony club riders, kids, and Little English Saddles just giving it a go, which is so great to see. It's getting just bigger and bigger in New Zealand.
So what was it that took you overseas? You were able to get work with your beloved horses. How?
Yeah, so the first, well, it was a bit of luck, to be honest. My cousin was working for James Packer, so Kerry Packer's dad, the billionaire, and they were looking for a groom and an exerciser for the polo string. Now they had Alliston Polo, so they travel all over the world doing polo. And I thought, yeah, that sounds right up my alley. I was taking a gap year or two, but I told my parents that I was taking 2 years off to go travel the world. And I thought, what better opportunity than, I know I've lived and breathed horses, let's go over. And I went over and stayed there for 2 years. And it was just an incredible experience riding polo horses all over Australia.
So where did you meet your husband, Reece? Away or back here?
Back here. So I had gone to New York first. So I went and taught at the International Riding School. I taught show jumping over there to like A-listers' children. So they would turn up in limousines and they would stay with us in New York and would teach them how to ride. So I was teaching about 6 to 7 year olds over there. And then I came back home, went to Australia, did the 2 years for James Packer. And when I was home, I thought, oh, I've got a nice wee quarter horse mare in the paddock and she's really quick. I'm going to see how she goes on rodeo circuit. And she was fabulous. And I met my husband when I was home. So I was only home for 4 months, met my husband, and we went overseas together.
And now we have another take, because at some point you're home again and you're heading off to university, yeah?
Yes, so yeah, I ended up taking about four years off, and thought, right, now I have to. I said to my parents that I was going to university, because I've always said to me that pursue music is fine, all horses is fine, but have a backup career. So if you get older, if anything happens in your life, you've got a career you can fall back on. So okay, and I love my teaching children in New York, so I thought, right, I'm going to be a teacher. So I went and studied Bachelor of Education at Otago Uni, which is kind of when I started singing again.
So singing again as well. Somewhere along the line, there's double trouble arriving.
Yeah, so I did my 2 years, or well, 3 years to get my bachelor, and then I went off back to my hometown of Middlemarch, took my husband with me. But then we were just, we were partners. So we'd been together for 6, 7 years at that point. Went back to Middlemarch, got my registration because you have to do 2 years out, so in the classroom with like a mentor. And then we got married. He actually proposed to me when we were, my duo and I, my country music duo, we were in Gympie at Gympie Muster, and he proposed to me there. And we got back and he got married and then started a family.
So things getting busier and busier as more and more layers get added, Casey.
Yeah. So before I got, I was in a duo from when I was 21 through to for about 7 years. I was in a duo called Chantilly, and I left the duo after about 7 years because I was pregnant, and I thought, oh no, I don't want to do that lifestyle when I'm bringing up children. And then I just loved music so much that I got pulled back into music after the boys were born. But I did take some time off to just be with them.
Casey Evans is our guest. We are talking to her about her diverse career. She's a full-blown cowgirl, that's for sure. She's a farmer, musician, a mum, a barrel racer. You're listening to 9 to Noon on RNZ National. It's 10:30. So the music's roots go back how far? We've known about a lifelong love of horses. How far back does the music go?
Right back. So my grandfather, he played the violin, and he was a very famous singer back in the day. I think he won kind of like New Zealand Idol, but it was called Stars in Your Eyes or something like that, back in like 1934, I think it was, in New Zealand. So he was a singer and a musician. And then when I was, so there wasn't anywhere to sing in Middlemarch, so I would put on concerts in the lounge, dress up and put on concerts for my family. And when we moved to Cromwell so I could go to high school, there was a country club that Mum was like, okay, let's get her in there. She loves performing. So I went to the Cromwell Country Music Club and got singing lessons, and that was my first real taste of singing, performing to a crowd and with a band. And I was kind of hooked from there. I've never really stopped, even when I've been travelling all over the world. If ever there's a band on, I would get up and sing.
Did you get any professional training at any point?
Yes, I did. So when I was at uni, I'd often sing. There was a singing teacher up there that I had lessons from for a very long time, and I still stay in touch with them up there.
And so when it came to genre, was it always going to be country? What was the range?
It was very, right. So I'm really influenced by classic rock, you know, like Stevie Nicks and Joan Jett and Pat, you know, Benatar and all those classic rock. And when we were in Chantilly, we didn't really do a lot of country. We did some, so we're often known for country music, but we'd get booked for city nightclubs. So we would sing a lot of pop and a lot of, you know, those classic rock, those bangers, if you'd call it, you know, the ones that everyone wants to party to.
I love rock and roll.
Yeah,
on the chorus.
Exactly,
yeah,
yeah. Yeah, everyone would sing it back to you. So when we were playing in cities, we didn't really sing a lot of country music. And obviously that was part of both of our roots, because we're both country music trained. Mm. That's where we were like grounded. But because we loved every genre, it didn't really bother us what we sung. Because we were a cover band, you know, we did a little bit of songwriting on the side, but to be honest, we just played what the crowd wanted to hear. And our main goal was that everyone in that room was having a good time. So we would just sing to whatever they wanted. And then when I left to have a family, I went back to country, which just went there without even realising when I picked up the guitar and started writing.
Within country, though, there's a huge range. What are some of your biggest influences?
Oh, that's the thing. With country music, it's such a massive genre. There's the, you know, traditional country, and then there's your bluegrass country, and Americana country, and pop country, and rock country. So my biggest influences in today's country music would be the likes of Miranda Lambert and Maren Morris, as she sings at My Church, the Grammy-nominated song, and Luke Combs. So it still has very country strong, but it's very influenced by that classic rock undertones. So yeah, I'm still down that genre. And especially the songs that I'm writing and preparing for the album now are feeling like the ones that I'm leaning towards are those, but more rocky, but more substance to the music.
Well, you're at the right end of the country. You're very near the golden heart of country music for New Zealand. Yes. And, you know, is there a broad church there when it comes to musical style?
Absolutely, yeah. And we're really lucky because Gore is just down the road. And it is such a small community, if you think about it. Like, we all know, everybody knows someone in the community of music. And it's very supportive. And Gore, just at Queen's Birthday weekend, just absolutely exploded. Like, there is no accommodation. It's bustling with musicians and artists and songwriters and producers, and just everyone from anywhere around New Zealand just goes to Gore to hear country music.
So of the album, you've talked about its musical influences. What about when it comes to lyrics in your songwriting? What kinds of things are flowing through this album you've penned?
Oh, all sorts, to be honest. Like, in a lot of the things, like, all my songs are self-penned, so I haven't co-written with anyone, which is something that I actually probably should do, is go and co-write with someone. But at the same time, I'm really wanting the album to be my words and my experiences or what I've seen. So a lot of the songs, you know, that one you played somewhere is from my own experience, and Wild and Free is my own experience. But a lot of the other ones are maybe if I see a friend going through something and I just feel inspired to write their story, that often happens as well. So it just kind of, it goes with wherever I'm feeling. And that's the thing with my songwriting style, is a lot of the time I'll just be driving along and I'll have a line pop into my head and I'll pull over and I'll sing that line into my phone, and then I'll build a song around that one line.
So where's the album at? You're supposed to be recording it about now, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Sorry.
I know, I've been so patient. And then I did think, so obviously all last season, last year, I actually broke my leg. I had a bit of a riding accident on my horse, and it was just an accident. He lost his footing. We were just going on a small trot, and he was only a baby, and he fell. And he fell on top of me and broke my leg and my ankle. And it was right about, it was April, so we were second week of lockdown. And I didn't even realise it was broken. We didn't ring an ambulance or anything. I got back to the house and was like, oh, I've really sprained my ankle. And hubby was like, well, I think they should go to the hospital. Oh, okay. So, and then I was supposed to, that kind of, I couldn't travel anyway with COVID and my broken leg, so I was stuck, so I wrote. And I thought to myself, well, at the end of the year, you know, November, December, I'll be able to, COVID will be all gone, I'll be able to go back to Australia, because that's where I record with my producer. And he's from the UK, but he's often in Australia visiting family, so we meet there. And yeah, COVID's not going away. So I talked to him about a week ago and said, like, what is the plan? We need to continue with three songs in to the 7-song EP, just, you know, because there's albums about 20 songs, EPs 5 to 8. So we're going to do an EP for a start. And he said, well, I don't see you coming over anytime soon, but we are going to see how we're going to try and do the music, record the music and the band. And I've got full faith in my team over there that they will produce an amazing song, and then it'll come back and I'll record it here in New Zealand.
Couple of other things to mention. How did this deal with Wrangler come about? That's one of the biggest names in country. Wrangler jeans. How did that happen?
Well, to be honest, I'm not 100% sure. I messaged them because obviously I'm really big into rodeo and barrel racing, and my friend and I have started Southern Barrel Racing, which is just, you know, grassroots. It's all about getting people into the sport. And so I thought, oh, I'd really like some sponsorship to try and help us with the children and the newbies getting buckles. So I cold messaged Wrangler and said, hey, Wrangler Australia, because there's no Wrangler New Zealand, and said, oh, I've just got the Southern Barrel Racing, would you be interested in sponsorship? And they said, oh, unfortunately, all our sponsorship allocations are completed. But we are offering ambassador roles and that sort of thing. Would you be interested in applying? And I thought, oh, why not? You know, yep, okay, send me the application form. And I literally just completed it on my, oh, yeah, well, what will be, like, it'll be fine, they won't come back, but I'll just write it out. And next thing they said, we'd like to offer you a deal. And I got Thomas Cook, Pure Western, Twisted X, and Wrangler, so the whole four companies took me under their wing.
So what do you have to do as an ambassador?
So basically you're a model for the brand. So
you wear jeans a lot of the time.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was a no-brainer. And the thing is that I live in the gear anyway. So my poor husband and friends, and I've got really good friends that are photographers, they could take photos of me doing all sorts of random, just wearing their product. And at the time, I thought, oh, why would they want little old me from the Catlins? But they just said that I just incorporate everything they stand for. So they said, yeah. And then when I didn't expect to be re-signed this year, I just thought, oh, this will just be a little bit of fun for a year. And then they were like, would like to keep you on the team.
So do Cole and Luke have matching jeans?
Oh, they do.
That's a really bad pun that wasn't intended, given they're fraternal twins. That was a complete accident.
We get it a lot, don't we?
But
so,
they
the Wranglers jumped on with them as well. They're all videos of me posting. I've got a Instagram account just for our horses, which is called Barkridge Catlins, and I post just the boys, because the twins, they have their own little ponies, Honey and Sugar. And we were doing an event, and Wrangler said, well, kit them out in Wrangler gear. So they've got little matching Wrangler jeans and boots, and yeah.
Another initiative you've got are the horse treks. I think they've become annual. What are they about?
They have become annual. So at the beginning, recording an album is just so expensive, and it's a really hard industry. You need a lot of money if you're not signed to a label. So I was like, I want to do something different. I want to incorporate my love of horses and music and see if we can put on an event that does both. And someone said to me, why don't you do a horse trek? And I thought, oh, no one will come to my horse treks. But the last one, there was over 100. We had to cap it. We kept it at 100 because that year, obviously, with COVID, we're like no more than 100. And COVID, there wasn't any level restrictions when we did this in November, but I still kept it. And I had people on waiting lists to come along and ride with me, my horse, because I ride with them. And they come away with me for 3 days.
So simple sort of common thread through your life, Casey, which is just do it, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. And that is probably my philosophy. I think if one door closes, another opens.
Fantastic stuff. Hope we get that album done and dusted and out there sometime soon. Great talking to you, Casey Evans.
Thank you very much.
Bye.